And one of the most striking features of the huge crowds here is the number of teenagers smoking, talking, clutching backpacks and blankets in this morning chill. It's evidence of the legendary appeal that John Paul II had to young people. We turn now to some young people in America who have memories of seeing the Pope, most when they attended the church's World Youth Day, which was held every 3 years. NPR religion correspondent Barbara Bradley Haggerty spoke with some of them.
Michael Fitzgerald was 18 when he saw the Pope for the first time. He and his friends from St. Peter's Catholic Church in Olney, Maryland, had flown to Rome for World Youth Day 5 years ago. They stood roasting in St. Peter's Square in August.
They actually at one point brought out like hoses from the fire. They brought fire hydrants, then they were spraying people with water, and it was so hot out there.
Suddenly, the Popemobile entered the square. All around him, teenagers began to cry and drop to their knees. Fitzgerald was transfixed by the paradox of Pope John Paul II.
It was just so cool because he's this very little, frail man, but he had so much power in him.
A supernatural kind of power, says Chris Prangley, who was on the same trip. Prangley says when he was young, he was a bit of a rebel, and until that trip, he thought of the Pope as a distant figurehead.
But when he was out in the masses and in the crowd, it was something a lot different. It was more personal and like an intimate thing, like a candlelight dinner. You felt something inside you when he went past you.
That moment changed Prangley's life. He flirted briefly with the idea of priesthood, and he never forgot the Pope's charisma. Prangley's friend, Katie Cadigan, who's a junior at Catholic University, says teenagers loved the Pope because he loved them.
People think that, you know, teenagers and young people are just kind of like out there and, you know, reckless and whatever, but he didn't see it that way. He was like, you guys are the future, and I love you for that.
Cadigan says a lot of teenagers chafed against his strict moral standards, but she says,
it's nice to have some boundaries and to know what you can do and to know what you can't do.
Cadigan's roommate at Catholic University, Lauren Meraz, adds that the Pope gave her the emotional latitude to adhere to her own values in the rough and tumble of high school.
It's hard because everybody wants to fit in, everybody wants to be accepted, but not everybody wants to be having sex or being sexually active. And he kind of was an example of, we don't need all of these other things cluttering up our lives just because our friends are doing it, because there are other ways to achieve the joy that we're looking for.
For others, like Jeff Roman, a 21-year-old at the University of Maryland, the Pope stood as a rebuke not only to the morals of his generation, but also to its ambitions.
My generation, especially, tends to feel that the world owes us something. You know, what am I here to get? What's in it for me?
By contrast, he says, John Paul served the poor and the oppressed, and even forgave the young Turk who tried to assassinate the Pope in 1981.
He suffered a lot physically, and he suffered a lot spiritually. He suffered a lot, you know, that really attacks the human soul. Yet, he was always there to serve God, and he never lost his faith in God. And I want that kind of heart.
Of course, the Pope's charisma did not charm everyone. Max Halveston was raised a Catholic. As he puts it, church every Sunday, Sunday school after that, the whole shebang. But the 22-year-old had an epiphany when he was 16.
Originally, I thought of the Pope as an utterly benevolent force, but then I realized there's a lot of things he could be doing that he wasn't, or individual groups that he was quite horrible to, actually. And I just couldn't reconcile that with the idea of someone as being like the paragon of a religion.
Halveston abhorred the Pope's prohibition on abortion, homosexual practice, and condom use, even to prevent AIDS infection. But Mike Fitzgerald says at least the Pope stood for something, a happy change from leaders who test public opinion before taking a stand. And he says the pontiff stood till the end, traveling to Jerusalem or Cuba or Africa, while his body succumbed to Parkinson's disease.
That dedication is just as powerful in young people as being the cool person. You know, that makes the person the cool person. You know, that's what makes a person a hero.
And he hopes the next Pope will resonate with kids the same way, no matter what his age. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
For full NPR coverage of Pope John Paul II, visit our website, npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News.